Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back. And Joe, you might remember 3 months back in June of 2021, 3 months before 9/11, we sent out a newsletter and had a picture of that newsletter. But we'll talk about that after this. Go ahead and bring on Tucker and Jones.
They're hated by the people who run our country. But no one is hated more by them than a man called Alex Jones. Alex Jones is the single most censored man in all American history. He was the first media figure in our history to be completely erased in one day, deplatformed. Alex Jones was deplatformed before it was a common term. And not just deplatformed, sued, attacked. They attempted to criminally charge him. What did Alex Jones do wrong? Alex Jones didn't rape anybody. He didn't loot Macy's. He didn't burn a police station. He didn't invent a fake cryptocurrency and loot pension funds. He didn't start a pointless war that made this country poorer and more disorganized. He didn't open the southern border. No, Alex Jones had opinions that deeply rattled the people who run America. In fact, rattled a lot of us. And I'll just confess that I first heard of Alex Jones when he questioned the official story behind 9/11. And I, speaking for myself, was deeply offended by this. I didn't take any time to find out what he was saying, but I was bothered by the idea that this defining event in American history, which changed the life of everyone who lived here then, might not actually have unfolded as we were told it did. And that possibility was too destabilizing. And I remember feeling resentment toward Alex Jones for saying that. But several years later, I wound up in Austin, Texas, and through a chain of circumstances, wound up meeting Alex Jones. And I learned what everyone who has met him now knows, which is Alex Jones is not a crazy person. Alex Jones has said pretty far out things on TV from time to time. Not that far out. He hasn't said men can become women or Ukraine is a democracy, but within the bounds of, say, cable news, pretty far out. But fundamentally, Alex Jones is right about a lot of things. And in fact, that's why they don't like him. Alex Jones has an uncanny, really an amazing ability to predict events before they happen. He has called it and he's done it on tape again and again to the point where it's a meme on the internet. Alex Jones, prophet, not conspiracy nut, prophet. But when you dig into Alex Jones's predictions, they are so spot on that it's remarkable. How does he do this? We're guessing there's a kind of spiritual sensitivity to Alex Jones. Maybe that's his secret. He was displaying this years before the average person in this country even thought about matters like that. Now it's pretty obvious to most people that the current war going on in this country is taking place in ways you can't see it most of the time. But 10 years ago, people were not thinking that way. Alex Jones was. And so we thought it'd be interesting to sit down and talk to Alex Jones, the man. He joins us now in our studio. Alex Jones, thank you.
Wow, Tucker, it's great to be here. Amazing studios, amazing. I mean it, amazing people. And this is really going to be, I think, a historic interview. So thanks for having me.
Well, I'm really grateful to be able to do it. And it's just, it's one of the great blessings of my life and of my job is that I've been able to meet people that I've had preconceptions about and sometimes find those preconceptions bolstered and in other cases demolished. And you're definitely in the second category. So I want, for people who've made it this far, you know, the people around the country have really succeeded in making you disreputable. And the whole point, of course, is people won't listen to you. So we thought it'd be interesting to start with a series of on-tape predictions that you made, some of which are so precise and so prescient that it makes the hair on my arms stand up. And I'm being sincere, and our viewers are about to see what I'm talking about. Here is a list of things that you called ahead of time. Those 9/11 clips are crazy. I'm actually bothered by the precision of them. I'm not accusing you of being behind 9/11. But how could you, in July of 2001, call that? You said they're going to have airliners fly into the World Trade Center, and they're going to blame a guy called Osama bin Laden. Now, leaving aside what actually happened, how could you have known that?
Well, in the longer clips, because it's a multi-hour show from July 25th, 2001, I specifically walked through all the reasons, and I knew that they were hyping up that we were about to be hit by Osama bin Laden. I knew that the World Trade Center had been attacked the first time and that the feds had been involved helping cook the bomb and allowing it to go forward. And I just saw a lot of the pre-programming that was happening in the media as they were on the news saying, you know, life's about to change in America. And I was reading what the RAND Corporation was saying and what the Pentagon was putting out. And I read the PNAC document from a year before, Rebuilding America's Defenses, that Dick Cheney had helped write. And it said, we need a Pearl Harbor event on the American homeland to be able to bring in this police state and this control and then expand the American empire worldwide. So hundreds of pieces of data, went into that prediction.
But terrorists are going to hit the World Trade Center in July of 2001. I lived in the United States then. That was the last thing on my mind. And I lived in Washington. I know the guys who wrote the PNAC document because I shared an office with them. So I was more informed than the average person. And that was the last thing that crossed my mind in the summer of 2001. Like everyone else, I thought it was a Cessna. But how convinced were you that this was going to happen?
I was completely convinced. In fact, in the full clip that's online, you can find it on Twitter and other places, it has been removed. I explained to people that they need to call the White House and tell the White House, we know if you allow these attacks that you're basically allowing it to happen. And it was similar to all the data we had when
But you said that on your show?
On my show. And I gave the number out so people could actually call the White House. And then going back to October of last year, when the Russians went into Ukraine, I specifically said, I think they'll go in by the end of February. And there was a lot of data that went into that. And then they specifically did go in on February 24th. And so I was able to make that prediction as well. But there was a lot of data and information that went into it.
Sure. I'm just, for the record, I miscalled that completely. I didn't think they were going to do it. You were right. I was wrong, not for the first time. But the 9/11 thing, I remember that really well. Nobody was thinking like that. So you called it in public on tape. Did the 9/11 commission? So if I'm the FBI and I'm investigating 9/11, you're like the first guy I would call because you're the only person who said that out loud. Did they call you?
No, they didn't. But my most accurate prediction going back over a decade was when I read the Rockefeller Foundation Operation Lockstep, and they described using a virus to bring in world government, to bring in a world medical ID that they would then build the social credit score off of, and that they would make people wear masks for fear, and that they would shut down sporting events and things like that, and basically phase in this new tyranny. So I was also able to specifically make that prediction over and over and over again because I was going off their own battle plans.
Are you the only person in media who actually reads these reports?
I don't think a lot of people do read them, but I do read them. I mean, I'm currently reading MIT reports from their top counsels, Pentagon, reports. They have a working group called the Mad Scientist Group at the Pentagon that works with MIT. And if you go watch their hour-long, two-hour-long, three-hour-long meetings they have on YouTube with all the top, I mean, we're talking hundreds of top scientists, they admit that they're building a post-human world, that soon everyone's going to be mind-controlled, that they're going to put smart dust in our food that they can electromagnetically control. And they just lay it all out right there. And I've learned what these people said in the 50s they would do were done by the 70s. What they said their plan was in the 70s for the 90s, they got done. And then when they had their Agenda 21 in Rio de Janeiro in 1992, the big UN summit, they described everything they would do up until the year 2000, and they got almost all of that done. And now they've got Agenda 2030, and we're going to ban your gas stoves. We're going to ban beef. We're going to ban single-family dwellings. We're going to ban private ownership of cars. We're going to do all this, and now you see them rolling it all out. So I'm not really making predictions in these high-level World Economic Forum and other large think tank groups. They are laying out the future, and they're high priests of the World Economic Forum. That's a consortium of all these groups. Yuval Noah Harari, you can read his quotes. The future is not human. The human era is over. The public is useless. I mean, this is a very anti-human system, so that's how I'm able to make predictions, because they've given us a roadmap. They tell us where they want to take us. And so when the public wakes up, we push back on some of it, but they always come back. And so I'm just following the trajectory of where they say they want to take us. And there were a lot of white papers, not just the PNAC document from 2000, a year before 9/11, where they describe we really need big terror attacks. We really need Pearl Harbor events to get Americans to give up their rights. I mean, take what just happened in Israel. Totally tragic. My heart goes out to all that have been killed or lost loved ones or been injured. But there's no way that one of the best intelligence agencies in the world didn't know that was coming, the massive buildup, the 5,000 missiles, the paragliding attacks, all of that. And so there was clearly a stand down there. And now the West will take more of the people's rights. Israel will be able to crack down and take more of their people's rights, which is a big debate over there. Hamas is being funded by Hezbollah, which is Iran. We just had Biden a month ago give $6 billion to Iran. And now the mullahs are bragging that they were behind the attack, Hezbollah funding Hamas. So really, those aren't even predictions. It's clear that Hezbollah and Hamas have tens of thousands of men and women as sleeper cells that are, quote, other than Mexican, that the Border Patrol list every month, tens of thousands coming across the Texas and Arizona and California sectors. And it's an easy equation to predict that there's a wide probability that Hezbollah and Hamas at some point are going to attack sports stadiums, they're going to attack colleges, they're going to attack synagogues, they're going to shoot up mass gatherings if they're given the order by Iran, if we go to war with Iran. And then when this happens, our government won't get in trouble for dissolving the border and letting these people come in. Just like on 9/11, our government clearly had prior knowledge. There was clearly a major stand down that went on. And the government got more power, more control. And now they're not pointing the Homeland Security apparatus at the Russians like they did in the Cold War or the Islamists after 9/11. Now they admit that their main focus is Christian conservatives and the bitter clingers and the people that live in rural America, that white people, I mean, it says that in the report, are the main terror threat. And so this whole apparatus of the war on terror it has now been turned inwardly against the people, not just here, but also in Europe, where if someone criticizes transgenderism in the UK, they come to their house and arrest them. If a journalist does that, they come to their house and arrest them. If somebody says, I think these surveillance cameras should start getting cut down, they come to their house and they arrest them for their free speech. And so this is a global movement by the mega corporations, by the Black Rocks and the State Streets and the Vanguards that control 80%+ of world wealth to control our behavior. And Larry Fink of BlackRock has said that at the Davos Group repeatedly. We're going to use our control over all this finance and this global social credit score we're rolling out to control people's behavior. So that's really what this is. And then they use the threat of global warming. They use the threat of a virus. They use the threat of radical Islam to take our rights. But we really are the target.
Even if by the way, none of that seems implausible at this point. I mean, just you're a measure of how the world has changed. If you'd said this to me 15 years ago, I'd have been like, someone's a crackpot and it's not me. And now after COVID, nothing you said seems crazy at all. I mean, you may be right, you may be wrong, but it's not out of the realm of possibility, obviously. But even if I disagree with what you just said, I would think that's pretty interesting. It's an interesting perspective. Why do you think, you've committed no crime, you'd be in jail if you had. Why do you think they hate you so much?
Because I do read their documents and I do read their books, and we were effectively getting a lot of people in the military and the intelligence agencies who were compartmentalized and who tuned into my show and saw my films and read my books and things, and they clicked with it and said, wow, I see all this going on around me. He's not lying about it. And then I would give them other pieces that I discovered or my other guests discovered. And so it was giving them an operational awareness outside of their compartmentalization. And so we had massive success in the military, in the police, and in the intelligence agencies, not just here, but around the world. And so our penetration into those areas to help people expand their awareness that we're inside the government, inside corporations, was triggering a lot of whistleblowers, was triggering a lot of people not going along with the program. And so really my sin was decompartmentalization of the population.
When you got deplatformed, and to this day, no one has ever been more aggressively censored, I don't think, than you. I've apologized to you this in person before. I was in Labrador on a fishing trip and missed the entire thing. I was literally out of cell range. I didn't know what happened, but I got back and I was and I read about it. I felt like it was a major moment in the history of the American media. I don't think anybody defended you when that happened. Anybody with any kind of audience.
For me, when Tim Cook admitted that he met on the weekend in August of 2017 with the other big tech heads, and they made the decision to curate like it's a museum and take me off. It was hundreds of platforms. I mean, it wasn't just all the big ones. It was everything from LinkedIn to our bank accounts being taken away to everything ensuing that week and over the next month. And I knew that I was a test case, and I wasn't taken off those platforms for any demonstrable reason. It was the questioning the school shooting thing that came later. They went and kind of dredged that up from my past, just questioning it a few times, blew that up after I'd been deplatformed and said I was deplatformed for that. But if you check the record, I wasn't. And so once they deplatformed me, it made the show in ways only get bigger with people actually going to InfoWars.com and finding me on local radio stations and things. So then they panicked and said, okay, let's look at his record and create more of a reason that he's being taken off. So they took things out of context from 5-6 years before, blew them up as a current thing out of context, and deceptively reported on what I'd said to create a straw man argument to then facilitate the reason.
What's so crazy is if you asked just a cross-section of Americans who's responsible for the Sandy Hook massacre of kids at the school, no one remembers the name of the murderer.
Adam Lanza.
Okay, thank you. I didn't remember. Alex Jones. They effectively blamed you for a school shooting that you were not present at.
I have people come up to me in the parking lot. You can ask my security guy. He's been there when people walk up and go, why'd you kill those kids? And then you go, I didn't kill those kids. And they go, yeah, you did. And so that is what this has turned into. But this is bigger than me. I want people to understand something, that the mullahs in Iran and the Ayatollah are congratulating Hamas that just killed around 1,000 or more innocent Israelis, many of them women, children, disabled people, in a vicious, evil sneak attack. They are on there, Hezbollah and Hamas, mainly Hamas, but it's Hezbollah funding it out of Iran, are literally posting videos of them cutting people's heads off and killing children and massacring innocent people. They're allowed to have their Hezbollah accounts and their Hamas accounts. The Ayatollah is able to congratulate what these people have done, and I am still banned. And I'm not mad at Elon Musk. I understand I've been so demonized with the general public. He's barely able to, you know, keep Twitter going right now. I really appreciate what he's done. I admire him. I think he's done a lot of great work. And I see him moving in the right direction. So a lot of people attack Musk on Twitter. I trend all the time. Hey, if you're such an absolutist on free speech, bring back Alex Jones. I understand that if he did that, the ADL and others would really be able to probably shut down Twitter. So I understand that he needs to, you go through a process before he does that. So people get mad at Twitter for not...
Why the ADL? I'm not the world's expert on your career, but I know you. I've never heard you say a single anti-Semitic thing and an anti-Israel thing. Why would the ADL be against you? I don't think anyone's even called you an anti-Semite.
Well,
unless I'm missing something.
I mean, what goes on is the left forever called everybody a racist if you were just a conservative or pro-Second Amendment or pro-life or thought we ought to have a border. And that didn't work anymore to call people racist. And so the ADL gets all this big liberal donations. And so they go out and then police and take people's sponsors and target them just by the ADL calling up sponsors. Sponsors get scared and drop. And so that's what they've done to Elon Musk. They've been, they took over 50% of Twitter's North American and European advertising in just the last year and bragged about it by saying he gives harbor to white supremacists, which he doesn't. But at the same time, white supremacists are ridiculous. They're goofy. Most of them are usually working for foundations and are basically, actors. We're not supposed to say that, but there's many cases of that actually being the case and that they're just LARPing that they're white supremacists. But let those clowns speak. Whatever happened to the ACLU that used to support the KKK marching through a town or publishing their own newspaper? I don't support the KKK. I think they're a joke. But if you take their rights, you're taking everybody's. But they're not even taking the rights of those people to post because they create fear and they get the ADL more funding. But if they can target an Alex Jones or an Elon Musk or a Tucker Carlson, then they're going after the real populist leaders that are bringing America together. And so what the left wants is to divide us all according to race, and to come out and say fundamentally with critical race theory that inherently being white is bad, and teaching five-year-old white children they're inherently bad because they're white. That is wounding their brains and really creating racial division.
Why do people put up with that? I don't understand why. I mean, that's just, if you had told me 20 years ago, and I grew up in a world where judging people on the basis of their skin color was totally immoral, and I still believe that. But if you told me 20 years ago that we were going to live in a world where people get on TV and just be like, I hate white people, they're bad. No, it's totally fine. Like, why do people put up with that? Like, there should be zero tolerance for that. I don't get it.
The Democratic Party founded the KKK. And when the majority were whites in the South in some areas, they played the race card for political power. Now that the majority in most areas are not white, they're playing the good old-fashioned race card of tell whites, you know, stand down, let people take over your society, your culture, give up your culture. It's embarrassing to be white. And then now it's flat out bad to be white. And the left's trying to convert all these minority groups that are now the majority in most areas into race-based systems because that is a very effective
system. But why do people put up with that? I mean, like, if they were doing that to Malaysians or Filipinos or Hondurans, I would say you can't do that. You're not allowed to attack people on the basis of their race. I'm sorry, not in a country like this, because a country will fall apart, and it's immoral.
I totally agree.
But nobody says anything. Well, I don't get it.
The reason they've done it is most of the enforcers of this are white, liberal women, 45 or older. Not
fair.
It's just a fact. And they're cucked husbands. And so to them...
Can I just say that the phrase cucked husbands is the best?
I mean, it really is true. So if you get around these white liberals, they live in the whitest areas. They're totally scared of anybody with brown skin. But they virtue signal constantly and then say, yes, the white people are bad. You know, the white people are evil. And, you know, I mean, I've even seen white people sit up there and say, yeah, it's time to deal with these crackers. And they're a white person saying that. So
from Jackson Hole or Nantucket or Aspen or Bethesda, the whitest places in America. So shouldn't there be a law? Super simple. If you've got a BLM sign in your yard, you should be required to live in Gary, Indiana, or Baltimore. Like, there, you should not be anywhere near Jackson, Wyoming.
You should be made to live in East St. Louis.
I totally agree.
You should be made to live in Detroit.
Yes.
And of course, they've done the studies, they looked at the statistics. It's not just here, it's in Europe, and it's in the UK, like in London. The liberal areas are like 99% white.
Oh, I noticed.
Okay, and there's a lot of rich people in London that aren't white, but they're not even in that area. They are the most insular group, and then they point at white Christian culture and society that actually outlawed slavery in most of the world, was the vanguard of stopping it, and then they don't point at China, which is the most homogeneous racist group in the world.
It's an ethno-state. It's Han Chinese, period.
Well, they teach, as you know on their news, that we are going to have Chinese superiority. We are the Chinese supremacist. Xi Jinping admires Hitler. He is literally following a race-based operation that is taking the world over, that owns the majority of Hollywood, that's paid off the Democratic Party. And if you look at all these anti-white shows that you see funded in Hollywood, almost all of it has majority literal communist Chinese government backing that is funding this. So it's real simple. China looks in and sees this diverse culture, and they say, we're going to use that to split the country up and balkanize it. And that's what they've done. And so communist China, along with the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL and all these groups, see America's weakness, and they're literally coming in saying white people are inherently bad because of the color of their skin. They inherently have cheated people. They've hurt people. White people invented racism. None of that's true. It's really just tribalism. And then they organize all these other groups into race-based groups to then unify them under the Democratic Party to attack who is left that tends to be more conservative. And that is some white people in this country. Though they're panicking because more and more blacks are voting Republican, more and more Hispanics are voting Republican. They're starting to figure this out. So now they're in panic mode to bring in totally disenfranchised third world populations who are refugees from the multi-year lockdowns in Africa, Latin America, and Asia and the Middle East. They then bring them to UN camps, brainwash them, then bring them to our border, brainwash them more, then send them into the United States, and then literally hold them for years at facilities while they're indoctrinated to be this new political underclass that's then going to be turned loose on America. And that's why you see Democrats giving illegal aliens the right to vote in their cities, giving them driver's license. That's why you see them passing laws. They can be police officers. So they are importing a new enforcement class against the American people, and they're setting it up along racial lines, not us. They're making it racial, just like Hitler made what he did racial. So it's the left and the think tanks and the
All right, there you go. I'm going to tell you, I think old Alex is dead on. He is dead on. And, you know, what he's talking about, the ones that are targeted are white Christian men with his racism. It's white Christian men that they are villainizing the most. But, Joe, you remember some years ago we were on some radio stations in New York, us, Alex Jones, Noah Hutchins, and others. And do you remember what happened?
We got taken off the station. The whole network got bought up.
By Bloomberg. Just to get us
off. We thought at first it was somebody else, but it was Bloomberg that actually was behind it, yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to shut us down. Now, do you remember something? Do you remember a June newsletter in 2001, our June newsletter? Do you remember what was on the cover of that?
I remember, I remember you talking about it, but after I got my
we head scrambled. There was a rapper group, these rapper singers, mm-hmm. and they had on their album cover, they had a picture of the World Trade Centers with two planes flying into them.
Yep. I remember that, you telling me, but I can't remember the 2001 event.
That was in June, and we put that out in the newsletter. And here, of course, so somebody knew. These guys knew what was going down, what was coming down there back 3 months before it happened. Now, do you remember 9/10? We talked about this 20 times in this program. The day before 9/11, 9/10, on C-SPAN, you had two people, former Senator Gary Hart and former Senator Bob Dole. And they were talking about, we have very strong information that we believe that they're going to use commercial airlines to attack America. Now, when I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wait a minute, there's something that's not right about this program. And when I thought about it later on afterwards, it was like that I got the sense that they were saying, okay.
They were telling the people in the know that what was going to happen.
It's on.
It was advance notice.
Yeah, and it was, but we told people about that. Also remember here when Hamas, when they invaded Israel, when they went after Israel, remember what we said. It's very, very hard for us to believe that the Israeli intelligence and the U.S. intelligence was not aware of that. There was very, very hard to believe. There was
all
too many
bombs and all of that money that was spent for the concrete, the steel, the electrical wiring, the technology that was being purchased. I can't believe that Mossad and our intelligence, with all the stuff being shipped there for building and stuff, didn't notice, gee, this is not going into a hotel on the beach. This isn't going, where it should have gone. And you can see, too, when those buildings go down, they shorted all the building materials to save it for their tunnels. You could see it and how easily the one rocket would bring down the entire building.
Yeah. And so, again, all of these things. So old Alex was dead on. Do you remember years ago, Alex used to be on here, and he'd come on and occasionally on this program, and I'd go on his program. But we're kind of running parallel.
Back in the 90s, I was a guest several times on his radio program when I was doing Restoring America.
Yeah, so... All right. Well,
I've got an Alex Jones I want to bring up right now. It came out on Fox News, and it's an amazing story, and it needs to be told. Chinese hackers had access to U.S. infrastructure for at least 5 years before discovery. The CBP reports the fastest growing migrant group, of course, is China. And now this joint cybersecurity advisory issued a finding today. Chinese hackers had access but remained dormant inside U.S. systems. The hackers infiltrated communications, energy, transportation systems, waste management sectors in the continental United States and its territories. Now, this advisory group is made up of a bunch of law enforcement security people from Australia, Canada, New Zealand, UK, and US. It's this big nation group. And this was not just intelligence gathering, but the purpose was to gain access to be able to control critical infrastructure across America. The report said that the hackers could wreak havoc on U.S. systems in event of a major conflict between the U.S. and China. Now, think about that. Being able to mess with water treatment plants, mess with our electrical grid, which, by the way, we've never hardened. We've never prepared it for an EMP attack. China has got all kinds of EMP weapons. They could destroy our mess up our natural gas pipelines, oil pipelines. How about transportation systems like trucking, rail? It goes on and on and on. And
Joe, hold it right there because we're up. We'll be right back after
that's
this.
Right.
Shackled by a heavy burden. Neath the load of guilt and shame, in the hand of Jesus, He touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me, and since I met this blessed Savior, and since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout while eternity rolls, for He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Well, something has happened. Now I know He touched me.
touched me and made me whole.
Boy, he could do it. I'm going to tell you, he can do it. He could touch
Amen
you and
to
make
that.
You whole. And,
Amen.
That was Brian Park. And Brian, you might recognize Brian. He's in a number of songs with me and some other people. I can't remember who the other folks, the ladies were in that song, but that was Brian.
I thought and that was you, Pastor.
No, I'm in a number of songs with him, but we do sometimes sound alike when we are in a couple of the different songs. People tell me it's hard to tell the two of us, but... Anyhow.
But Jim, what Pastor Ernie does is he gets with a couple of ladies that sing like an angel, and he always sounds so good when he sings with them.
I think Pastor sounds like an angel, too.
Oh, boy. We'll never get to hear the end of that.
I got a song I should play right now. It's a You look like an angel, okay, or a Christian, but you're a liberal in disguise.
That's a good one.
Yeah, a lot of people
but
like that.
I've got to finish two things real quick on that story before
yeah.
the break.
Then
you've got. One of the things people have to understand, the Chinese have a lot more hackers. In fact, they're... cyber personnel outnumbers ours by about 50 to 1, and this came from FBI head Ray talking about they have 50 to 1 against us, more hackers than we have. Now, how are we going to fight back a system like that when we're undermanned, outgunned, and we know how many times have we reported, Pastor Ernie, Chinese hacked into this, Chinese hacked into that, the government group, the business group. They've been successfully hacking into us for, what, the past 8-9 years that I can remember doing stories on it. And yet nothing ever seems to get done. The FBI, they're busy investigating parents at school board meetings instead of, you know, Chinese hackers. They're going after, yeah.
Pro-lifers, they're going after pro-lifers.
The Chinese.
Yeah. Homeschoolers now. Homeschoolers increasingly in the crosshairs. And that's another one that that's because the enemy is among us.
In the meantime, 50 to 1, we're outnumbered by the Chinese hackers. No wonder we're losing a battle. And we're just, the people have to wake up and get mad. Our government has been selling us out to China, China Joe especially, but many, many others in government.
The entire Democratic Congress.
Money and power.
The entire Democratic Congress, the Senate, they're in lockstep. And so, but go ahead, Jim, what did you have to say?
Well, you mentioned the possibility of America's surrendering about an hour ago or so.
Yeah.
And I have a chilling story I'd like to share. It's not long, but in 1986, I was a brand new First Lieutenant Air Force chaplain at an Air Force Reserve chaplain's conference out at Lowry Air Force Base, Colorado. And in a seminar, it was seminars for 4 days long, and in one of the seminars, we were presented a scenario in which America was blackmailed with nuclear missiles from Russia. In this scenario, I don't remember all the details, but in this mock scenario, supposedly mock, they had outnumbered us with missiles and power, and our systems were dilapidated. And within 30 minutes, we were going to be attacked with missiles unless we stood down. And the result of this scenario that we chaplains were presented, America stood down and we were taken over by communists. And that was the first time that began to cause me to wake up about what really can be happening in America. And many years later, I began to realize that all these mock scenarios and the movies that come out with what's happening in the future, it's because it's all being planned. And they
right.
want to, as long as we see it on the silver screen, we won't believe it. Or if it's in a mock scenario, we won't believe it. But no, they're telling us the truth and what is really planned for America. I think it is planned that we are taken over and we are outgunned.
Well, you know, that brings me to, you know, answering my own questions, because, Joe, have you noticed something that this year and from about the middle of last year, all of those hacks that they used to come after us, they kept trying to take me down, they would cut into it, you'd get the Twitters, you'd get all of these things, and do you remember that? How, you know, it was constant. It was like at least two or three times a week. They were trying to, you know, take me down, and I would get the calls in saying, you're off in New York, you're down in Detroit, you're off in San Diego, you know, you're down in Dallas. And so it was constant, just constant.
Right, and we were told we were the only program it happened to on
right.
the Salem Network.
Yeah, and then, but here now, and I was thinking, because they backed off. They backed way off. They backed way off on Alex Jones. And remember what Bill Gates said? As long as it's planned, people right. will accept genocide. They'll accept genocide. As long as you tell them you're going to do it ahead of time, way ahead of time, it's like what he said about blocking out the sun. Well, he's implemented that, spending that money. We've got chemtrails all the time. I mean, constantly. They're trying to manipulate the weather. And, of course, you know, what they're doing with all of the different viruses and that they have out there, the bioweapons. But that is what's happening. It's like we're here telling the people what's happening. And it's like, well, yeah, let's let them do that. Let's let them continue to tell the people, because the people the vast majority of people in this country are in La La Land. They're clueless. They're absolutely, they're indoctrinated. They listen to NBC, ABC, CBS, okay, and of course they tell them that we're we are propaganda. You know, hear the propaganda, and so people, they're just like, well, you know, they're accepting it. It's kind of a. It's like their minds are being numbed, isn't it?
Yeah, it's numbing. It's dumbing down and numbing down.
Yeah, as long as they keep on telling us it's going to happen, then when it finally happens, we are stupid, dumbfounded, and we do nothing. And we're so drugged up anyway, our population, with BlackRock's Pfizer medication and everything else that BlackRock owns. They're mind controlling us, and they were and are trying to shut us up from telling the truth. And Pastor and Joe, you might remember when I was on your program back in 2005 to 2007, during that time frame, quite a bit. I was speaking out on illegal immigration nationwide. You remember I came to Cincinnati, and
you're
the one who brought the crowd out for me.
When
the Prophecy Club contracted with me, I wasn't part of them, but they contracted with me to come and do this. And people thought I was part of Prophecy Club. I was not, never was. They just paid me to come and do seminars for them, which I gladly did. Everybody needs to get educated. But the 2 years later, after I began speaking out on illegal immigration, the United States Army came after me and began to accuse me of doing this in my uniform, which I did. I did not. They accused me of going to the border in my uniform, and I did not. I went down there with jeans and a pullover, offering a sunrise communion service for anybody, even illegal aliens, because everybody needs God, for the ACLU and Minutemen. No, I was accused of representing the Army in radio interviews, even. And they tried to get me, and they had to drop it all, because I proved them wrong. But and I did this as a civilian. I was in the National Guard and the Reserves. the Army tried to paint me in a corner, and they failed. Thank God.
Yeah. Well, we have to take our service back. It's nothing like it was when we were in. Nothing. We unbelievable what has happened to our military. But again, yeah. You got to give Obama credit. He was purging all the patriots. Okay. Here's what these Democrats out there don't realize, that everything that they want to do, all of the rights and the freedoms that they want to take away from us, the property, you know, it's going to happen to them too. And they don't, it's not dawning on them. I don't know.
What does the Lord say something about that the God of this world is blinded?
Yeah.
You know, the eyes of men, so they can't see the glorious light, but they can't see the truth. And the truth is a lot of this stuff that they have planned, they forget they have children, grandchildren, lovers, friends, and there'll be a lot of other people destroyed that they hadn't planned on.
It's been proven by history that every time there's a revolution in a country, the revolutionaries of that country are then murdered by the invaders because they weren't faithful to their own country and they won't be faithful to the new regime.
We've seen that over and over, haven't we?
Yeah.
Already, let me see. How much time do I have there, Style? You have 6 minutes. 6 minutes, Jim, to give an invitation and tell the folks out there, you know, how they can avoid that fiery lake of fire that we were talking about, hellfire, and the worm that never dies, and the torment and the smoke that goes up forever, and how they can make it to glory. So go ahead, go for it.
Yes. No man comes to the Father except through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and nobody can come except the Holy Spirit convict him or her. And if you who are listening, if you are convicted by the Holy Spirit, answer the voice of God, because time is short and God will not wait forever for you. Heed the call. Pay attention to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I feel chills coming up my body right now as I speak. Time is short. God is not going to wait. We don't know how long we will even be alive in our country. A nuclear explosion can take place right now. You can be in an accident. You don't know what's going to happen. Heed the call. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens that door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." Let him into your heart's door. Accept him as Jesus, as your Lord and Savior this evening while you have a moment. You may not always feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but while you feel convicted, let him in. Let him make a change in your life. He'll give you a brand new start. You'll feel clean and refreshed, and you'll feel spiritually strong that you can overcome sin. You can overcome your enemies. And if you take one step toward God, the devil will take two steps away from you. You come to God, Satan will flee. That's what the word says. So pray with me this prayer right now if you would like to receive Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of every wicked way. Clean me and make me righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I come to you right now in Jesus' name, and I repent of all my sins and wickedness. Help me to get into the church and to form Christian friendships that will strengthen me. Help me to get into the Word to strengthen my walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, very good. And so let me, you know, when we tell people out there, when we give this invitation, there are people out there, a lot of them are thinking, and I've heard this before, you know, One of these days, I'm going to do that. One of these days, I think I'll say that prayer, but I'm not ready to do that yet. I've got things I want to do. Like I had that one rapper boy down there tell me when I was preaching on the streets, when I get old like you preach, he said, then I'll get religion. He says, right now I'm going to party hardy. And I told him, I didn't get this old by being stupid, son. And so, you know, hopefully, especially in that neighborhood, he would have listened. But for people that say, well, maybe not tonight, maybe tomorrow, I'll do it. But and those others that say, well, you know, there's a lot of different religions in this world. They don't want to believe in absolutes. They don't believe in absolutes. I had a woman that was who listened to the radio program, and she wanted to know, why is it always black and white with you? Where's the gray area? Where's the gray area? In other words, the compromise. We don't find compromise in the Word of God, do we?
No, shall not, cannot, will not, must not. Doesn't leave a lot of room for compromise.
Right. And so when we say there is no other way to the Father but by the Son, there's a lot of absolutes in this world, aren't there? And so, well, it's just like here, for an example. Oh, well, it's like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. There's no in-between there, is there?
Yeah, there's no sort of pregnant or kind of pregnant. You're either, yeah. But okay. Yet, you're either dead or you're not.
All right. Well, so there are a lot of absolutes in this world. And one of them is, absolutely, you're going to die someday. And when that happens, absolutely, you're going to end up in heaven or hell. It doesn't matter what you believe. So it's when you compare what you believe or what you want to believe with what the Word of God says, one is reality and one is, well, you might call it just vain babbling, huh?
That's right.
All righty. We're coming up to the end of the radio program, and how much time do I have there? We're coming up to the end. I wanted to remind folks about what's coming up on March 7th and 8th. It is the Bringing America Back to Life, and that's going to be held at the Embassy Suites in Independence, and that will be again, this coming March 8th and 9th, Friday and Saturday, Lord's, I will be there, Lord's willing, meeting and greeting people. But until then, we want to say good night.
Good night.
Good night. God bless.
God bless, like
God bless.
You said.
God bless.
And then we always say, and always. You ready? Keep
fighting
the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.